Case on the calendar, it's State of Minnesota versus William Joseph Urquhart. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you are Mr. Urquhart's attorney?
I am not, Your Honor. I am the attorney for the state.
Then you two should switch sides.
It's a state appeal.
State appeal.
Yep.
Excuse me, I apologize. You're one step ahead of me then. Would you state your name for the record and then you may begin your argument?
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Nicole Applebaum. May it please the court, counsel. I represent the appellant, the state of Minnesota, city of Golden Valley in this case. This court should reverse the trial court suppression order because the trial court erred as a matter of law and applied the incorrect legal standard. Using the trial court's findings of fact and applying the proper legal standard, the stop of the defendant's vehicle should have been upheld.
So I read the district court's decision as saying, and just help me out if I'm wrong, that this is a case where the officer did not make a reasonable mistake of fact. Because I think the law that you emphasize is that where an officer makes a reasonable mistake of fact, and that would not upset determination of reasonable suspicion for an investigative stop.
Well, the trial court's finding of fact stated that the officer did not act on a whim, that the officer testified credibly, that he believed that at the time the defendant's vehicle turned, that the officer's light had not turned red yet, which would mean that the defendant's light was still red. And based upon those facts, applying the reasonable articulation.
Well, you missed a fact.
Yeah.
The district court also found that the officer admitted that he had taken his eyes off the light. He wasn't watching the light. He saw that his light was green, which would mean that Mr. Urquhart's light would be red, and then stopped watching the light. Why is it reasonable for an officer to make a traffic stop based upon the previous condition of a light as opposed to the condition of the light at the time that the defendant is entering an intersection? How is that reasonable?
Well, taking all of the facts that the trial court found and the trial court's finding that after review of the video, that the defendant turned literally 1 second after the light had turned red in the officer's direction, that it can't be anything other than reasonable. Taking all of the
1 second is a long time when it comes, when it comes to transitioning from a green light to a yellow light to a red light, that 1 second is a significant amount of time. A vehicle can travel quite a distance. And the difference between 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds is the difference between breaking the law and not breaking the law. So why is it reasonable for an officer to base a stop on even if it's only a 1 second difference?
Well, I disagree that 1 second is a long time. These are officers acting in real time, watching the traffic light, watching a vehicle, processing the information. 1 second is literally a heartbeat, Your Honor. It's not 5 seconds or 10 seconds or 15. It's 1 second. And the law only requires a reasonable, articulable suspicion that the defendant committed a traffic violation and taking all of the trial court's findings. In sum and total, and applying the proper legal standard, the court should have upheld the stop of the defendant's vehicle.
You recognize from the facts of the case as found by the district court that Mr. Urquhart actually drove through a green light. He didn't run a red light or a yellow light. He went into the intersection after his light turned green. You don't dispute that fact, do you?
I don't dispute that fact, Your Honor, but I don't think that's dispositive of the issue because the analysis is whether the officer acted on whim or caprice, and he did not. And the trial court
found
that.
Well, that's one of the elements. Reasonableness includes more than just whim or caprice. It requires some degree of diligence on law enforcement to make sure the person you're stopping, in fact, violated the law.
Whether the mistake was reasonable, Your Honor, and I submit that the trial court's findings lead to the conclusion that the officer's actions were reasonable when you take into consideration all of the facts and not just the trial court's review after slowing the video, finding that the defendant didn't actually violate the traffic law.
You say after slowing the video, the dash cam captured an image the officer would have seen. That image was available to the officer. The dash cam is located in the same orientation as the officer driving the squad car, right?
Approximately.
So why is it reasonable for an officer not to observe the things that are observable, including the time that the light changes and whether the defendant's vehicle entered the intersection in violation of the law?
It is, Your Honor. However, when you watch the video, and I'm not sure if Your Honors have had an opportunity, but the way the light turns and the defendant's vehicle turning happens almost simultaneously.
Well, the district court very clearly found, and you already said you don't disagree with it, that Mr. Urquhart turned 1 second after the light turned. That's not the same as simultaneous, is it? And I don't mean to pick at your words, but I just want to emphasize you aren't challenging, I think, you are not saying that the district court is clearly erroneous in any of her findings of fact. Is that right?
I think 1 second is so close that it would be hard. I cannot say that the trial court was clearly erroneous with the 1 second turn. What I can state, though, is that the trial court also found that the officer testified credibly and that the officer believed that the defendant had turned.
But remember, so the standard for this, though, is objective, correct? It is not subjective. So the officer's reasonable belief or his credibility, while that is certainly, those are important findings of fact, part of the totality of the circumstances, they aren't the end of the analysis, correct?
They are not, but they do need to be weighted heavily, Your
Honor. And the judge notes them, right, in her opinion?
Yes, and the judge does note them, but the judge also stated that the officer didn't have probable cause to stop the vehicle, and that is not the standard.
So I'm sorry, where is that in the district court's decision? I didn't notice you making that argument. And I don't, again, you have rebuttal time, so if you want to bring that up in rebuttal,
I understand, Your Honor. In the last paragraph of the trial court's finding, it says...
Oh, I see. Yep, thank you. So I did want to ask you about the videotape. You know, one of the arguments that's made in your opponent's brief is... has to do with the perspective of the officer and of the videotape. We all understand this is the dash cam, so this is a videotape of what the officer is seeing, the officer's light, because Mr. Urquhart's approaching perpendicularly. It's not his light, right?
Correct.
And we don't have any evidence, actually, of what his direct evidence of what his light is doing. Our district court judge even makes the point that the state didn't offer any evidence of a, for example, an all red scenario.
Well, I believe the testimony at the hearing when Officer Siljander testified is that he is familiar with this intersection, that the intersection is controlled by a standard traffic control device, meaning red, yellow, green, and that there was no turn arrow. So by way of...
Right, but there's just no direct evidence that there is, for instance, a one-second delay, which might have some relevance in your case. To the turning of the light for the direction from Mr. Urquhart.
There is no direct evidence.
Yeah, right. No evidence at all. Right? Because we just have the dash cam for the officer's light.
I understand that.
Okay.
Yes, Your
Yeah,
Honor.
And I just wanted to point out, given it's your burden of proof, you know, we don't have that evidence.
That is correct,
okay.
Your Honor.
And then the second point I think that's made in the your opponent's brief that I just want to understand your view on has to do with the office where the officer is he's approaching this intersection. He's actually, about 4 or 5 seconds before the intersection, watching Mr. Urquhart slow down, get ready for this right-hand turn, and then the light, I think the district court says that the light is red at 3:28:58. And then the turn starts 1 second later, and our officer reaches the intersection at 29:04. So it's several seconds later, roughly 6 seconds later, before the officer gets to the intersection. So the officer has this vantage point of watching the light change as he's approaching. Am I right about that?
Theoretically, yes, he would, but as the officer testified, he was watching the light, he was watching the vehicle also, and in order to watch a light, in order to be aware of your surroundings, in order to drive a squad car, it takes a moment to process those things.
Was there testimony to that effect, or is that just your argument?
That's my argument because I believe that's just reality. it just is a fact that...
If a person enters an intersection 1 second after a light changes, might that constitute a violation of law?
No, but again, the issue here is not about whether the defendant beyond a reasonable doubt...
No, my question is, if an individual... I'm talking about just a violation of a red light violation. If an individual enters an intersection 1 second after the light changes, can that be a violation of law?
It could be, depending on the length of time that a traffic light has when, for one direction, it turns from yellow to red, and in the other direction, it turns from red to green.
Right.
So, yes, there is the possibility that as I'm looking at my light, once my light has turned red, if I see another vehicle drive, their light may not have turned green yet. So,
no, that's not my question. I'm talking about just separate from the facts of this case. If an officer sees an individual enter an intersection 1 second after the light has turned red, or for that sake, yellow, depending on how long the cycle is, might that constitute a violation?
It may if the vehicle does not come to a complete stop before making that turn, if we're taking it in that context.
No, let's say just going straight through an intersection and not turning. My question is, if you wait 1 second into a cycle, a change, would still be a violation of law?
I'm not sure I understand the question, Your Honor. And I'm not trying to be obtuse.
No,
I
understand. Not a very well-worded question. Assume that a driver is approaching an intersection and the light turns from green to yellow, and the driver is a significant distance back but continues through the intersection, speeds up and goes through the intersection. Might that constitute a violation?
It might, depending on when the light turns.
And if the light turned from yellow to red, it would be a violation if the vehicle entered after the light turned red, whether it was 1 second or a split second later.
Yes, Your Honor.
In light of that, why is it reasonable for an officer to base a traffic stop on a circumstance that occurred a full second before the officer made the determination that a violation had occurred?
Because we have the ability to say it was 1 second because the district court reviewed the video and made that determination, but the officer is not doing that. The officer is acting in real time, and it's not exactly fair or reasonable to require the officer to have to go back and re-review video. The officer testified that he was watching.
I'm talking about real time, not re-reviewing video.
Right, Your Honor, but 1 second is a heartbeat. And I don't think that the light turning red and the defendant going through it 1 second later is objectively unreasonable.
Counsel, can I make sure I understand the officer's testimony? I think I do. So the officer says, the light governing my direction of travel was green when I last looked at it. I looked away. In that time, I saw the defendant make his right-hand turn. I looked back. My light was now red. But the officer doesn't know what color the light was when the turn was made. Those are the facts we have, right?
I think when you review the transcript, that's not the entirety of the officer's testimony. The officer testifies originally and initially that he believed that the light was green, and then the video was shown, and then he had testified that the light had turned yellow, and then the light had turned red, and that when his recollection was that when the defendant's vehicle had turned right onto Winnetka, his light had not turned red yet, meaning the officer's light had not turned
red. And that was because he was looking at the light and could see that, or that's the assumption he made based on the last time he looked at the light?
I believe that's because that's what he observed based upon watching the light and the defendant's vehicle turn.
So the last time the officer testified, the officer testified that the last time he observed his light, his light was green. Is that accurate or not?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I believe that the officer testified that, and if I may have just a moment, Your Honor.
I mean, I'm getting the sense of that what the district court heard is the officer wasn't 100% certain what color the light was when the turn was made because he had looked away for a second, and the district court said, well, you know, if you're not sure, you shouldn't be stopping people. It's not reasonable to stop people if you're not absolutely sure because you weren't watching the light.
But that's not what the court's findings were, Your Honor. The court test or the trial court's finding of fact is that the officer Silgender testified credibly that he observed the defendant turn right onto Winnetka Avenue, that he believed that the officer's light had not turned red. And so based upon that, based upon those findings of fact.
The district court didn't say the officer knew the light had not turned red because he observed it. He believed that. I mean, I'm sort of reading this to believe, well, that the district court wasn't willing to endorse that belief as a reasonable one for constitutional purposes when assessing the reason for the stop.
My time is up. May I respond? Or
you may, because I'm looking at the last line of the district court's order. Given the clear evidence that the light had changed, the officer's suspicion that defendant turned while the light was green in the officer's direction was not reasonable. I mean, it seems like the district court's simply saying, okay, perhaps the officer did believe that this turn was made against a red light, but that belief wasn't reasonable under the circumstances, and therefore it didn't give rise to reasonable suspicion for a stop.
Well, and Your Honor, if the difference between the defendant turning into the intersection and the light turning red was 1 second, we're not talking about 5 or 10 or 15, 1 second, and the officer honestly believed that the light had not turned red in his direction, and the officer was not acting on a whim, that must be reasonable, Your Honor.
Okay, so I'm a little confused by the court's analysis, but you keep referring to the officer as having transitioned from viewing his own light to Mr. Urquhart's vehicle as 1 second. And I'm not sure that is accurate. It seems as if, as I understand correctly, and it's not precise in the district court's description, but the officer seems to have testified to observing that his own light was green and believed that his light was green at the time that Mr. Urquhart entered the intersection. But then, as it turns out, the video shows that his light was not green, but red. Am I correct that that's the way the testimony was presented and the way the exchange went on examination and cross-examination of the officer?
My recollection is that the officer originally testified that he thought the light was green in his direction when the defendant's vehicle turned.
Okay, so here's the problem I have with the 1 second discussion. The officer's light didn't change from green to red. It changed from green to yellow to red. So the officer then must have taken his eye, unless the yellow light was only for 1 second, which would be an extremely brief yellow light, the officer actually took his eyes off of his own light to look at Mr. Urquhart's car and made the decision to stop him over a longer period of time than 1 second. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand the gist of my question?
It does, Your Honor, but I don't believe that that's the full sum and total of the officer's testimony. Well, I understand that that's what the district court or the trial
did. Did the officer testify that he saw his light was yellow or that he saw that his light was green?
Both, Your Honor, that the light was green and that the light had turned yellow, and then at some point had turned red. But it was his recollection that the officer's light had not turned red when the defendant.
Okay, that's unclear. I haven't read the transcript, and that's why I'm curious. So you're saying that the officer did not testify that he saw that his light was green and therefore stopped Mr. Urquhart's car. You're saying that he stopped Mr. Urquhart's car because the officer believed that his own light was yellow.
Yes, Your Honor, and I believe that that's bore out in the trial, in the transcript from the hearing.
Okay, the findings don't suggest that, but I'll trust you on the transcript, and we'll hear from Mr. Urquhart's attorney whether he agrees.
And if there's no further questions, I'll have a seat.
Thank you. And you'll have 5 minutes on rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court and counsel. My name is John Daly, D-A-L-Y, and I represent Mr. Erke, the respondent in this matter and the defendant in this district court case.
Can you clear up that last fact that I was struggling with?
Your Honor, instead of making an argument, I want to address some of these factual issues. I believe my interpretation of the facts matched the judge's finding and conclusions more accurately based on the officer's testimony. I cross-examined that officer, and what the officer stated was that he believed that his light was green and that Mr. Erke had turned right when Mr. Erke's right light was red. And it came out pretty clearly that the officer or nobody could see what color Mr. Erke's light was.
So did the officer ever testify that he perceived that his own light was yellow?
No. In fact, the officer, and it says it in the judge's order, could not recollect whether his light changed to red at all during the entire process. And what the judge found so unreasonable about that observation is that...
Well, I mean red. I mean the yellow is my concern. I mean, the district court focused on this one-second moment, and that's reasonable to determine whether or not Mr. Erke's car entered the intersection on a green light or a red light. But my question goes to the argument of Ms. Applebaum, which is the reasonableness of an officer to transition from looking at his own light to a potentially violating vehicle in this one-second gap. I'm wondering whether it was longer than 1 second based upon the testimony.
So, Your Honor, what I'm trying to explain is when the officer was testifying about this issue, what he said was, when I observed my light was green. And then I cross-examined him, well, did you see your light change from green to red? And he could not recall whether or not his light changed from green to red. And it was only through...
So I gather the questioning wasn't, you didn't see your light change from green to yellow. The question was based upon a red light. So there was no testimony about whether it was yellow.
Correct.
So, counsel, I want to just, as I have read the transcript, so there is a couple of stages at which the officers questioned about his recollection. One is before the videotape is played, and I think that's the part that you're referring to now.
Correct.
The officer says that he believed the light was green when Mr. Erke turned.
Correct.
Right. Okay. And then we have the videotape played in open court, and the officer watches it.
Correct.
And then Ms. Applebaum asks him some additional questions. And I think this is quoted in the state's brief, which is to the effect that the question is something like, so Officer Salanger, after watching it from this vantage point, your traffic light is what color? And he again says, it's green. And no time frame right, in that question. And then the next question is, and it turns yellow, this is from Ms. Applebaum, and you see the defendant vehicle turning right, correct? And then his answer is, yes, I did. Again, no time frame, kind of implying that he believed the defendant turned while the officer's light was yellow, correct?
Correct.
Now, you did try to do some additional cross-examination, but I don't know that his testimony changed from that, at least Right. Not that I can see.
Well, and Your Honor, what I'm saying is that It was clear when I wrote my brief for this paper, and it was clear based on the judge's findings, and she says, I mean, right in her last sentence of her order, the video shows that the defendant turned 1 second after the light turned red in the officer's direction. Although the officer was not acting on a whim, the court finds that giving the clear evidence, and that's a factual finding, that the light had changed. The officer's suspicion that defendant turned while the light was green in the officer's direction was not reasonable. And so she's not saying that this is a split-second moment. I mean, if you look at the officer's recollection prior...
Because there's a transition from green to red. There's the yellow.
Correct.
Was there any I know the district court didn't enter a finding, but and I haven't viewed the video to measure the time from green to yellow, but what's your observation as to how long a period that light stayed yellow?
Well, there's two observations that are important. I think one is the period the lights stay yellow. From my observation, which isn't fact, it definitely was not an instant change here. So we have a period of time that the officer must have taken his eyes off of this vehicle that's a lot longer than just a split second, combined with the fact that it's snowing heavily outside and my client's traveling at a very slow rate of speed. And the court in their ruling found and held that Mr. Erke testified credibly that he was driving at a slow rate of speed because of the snow. And so this is also the night before the Super Bowl here, and my client's car is the only car on the road, which also added into the court's determination that this officer wasn't looking at the light because he was just looking at the first car he saw that was approaching a light. And because he did that, he failed to be able to observe the very instrument that would have given him the information he needed to make a determination on whether or not my client actually violated the law.
I think the officer's terminology was something like, I maintained a visual on Mr. Urquhart's car.
Right.
Isn't that right?
And what he didn't maintain a visual on was the information he needed to determine whether or not my client violated the law. And that's why the court held that this observation and determination made by the officer that my client violated the law, which would give him a basis to stop my client, was not reasonable. And that's not a clearly erroneous application of the law.
Well, clear error would apply to the facts, not
right.
The
right.
Law.
Well, it's her application of those facts, and then those application of those facts to the law was not incorrect.
What, if anything, do you say about the last sentence of the district court's decision, where the court does refer to the reasonableness of the officer's suspicion, but also seems to introduce a probable cause standard as opposed to reasonable suspicion? How, if at all, does that bear upon our decision?
Well, what I would say, Your Honor, is that what the judge is basically saying is that it was not reasonable for the officer to be suspicious of the defendant breaking the law based on the information the officer had.
Right, but the district court also mentions probable cause. You recognize that probable cause is not the standard here.
Correct.
So what do we make of that? Do we infer that the district court applied the wrong legal standard?
No, I don't believe you do. So I believe that what the judge is saying is that there wasn't a reason to stop the defendant because there wasn't a reasonable, articulable suspicion that the defendant violated a traffic law.
Is the probable cause phrase in that line just straight-up mistake by the district court, or was the district court actually applying a probable cause standard?
No.
What were people arguing in district court?
The law applied by the judge actually mirrors the law laid out in the appellant's brief. If you look at the law in the argument section of the appellant's brief, it's basically identical to the second-to-last paragraph of that order.
You're right. The paragraph before sets out the reasonable suspicion standard, so we could just look at that probable cause phrase and say, poor editing.
Poor editing, exactly. If you find an error with that,
or we're talking about a traffic violation that it's not like a. Obviously, your client was ultimately charged with drunk driving, but unlike a drunk driving based charge, a traffic violation charge is to add some colors, black and white. If
Correct.
You have reasonable suspicion to believe that someone violates a traffic control device, then you would have probable cause to stop the person as well as reasonable suspicion.
Correct.
For this kind of violation.
Correct. My argument and what the judge found is that the officer's attention was away from the light for such a period of time that for him to conclude that a traffic violation occurred without the information requisite to accurately or even close to accurately make that determination, it's not reasonable. And just another fact is that the officer also traveled at the light for multiple seconds after my client turned, right, to make a U-turn to follow my client. And so his testimony before reviewing the video of that he couldn't remember if his light changed from green to red during the process further shows that this wasn't just 1 second that he wasn't looking at the car. I mean, it was about 12 seconds that he was driving before he made a U-turn. I'm not saying 12 precisely. You'd have to count the seconds on the video.
I don't understand how that bears on your argument. Why does it matter how long it took the period of observation before entering either Mr. Urquhart or your client entered the, or Urquhart entered the intersection? I don't understand how that matters.
That's not what I mean, Your Honor. What I mean is after my client entered the intersection, right?
Yes.
The light was now for sure, certainly red in the officer's direction. And prior to reviewing the video in open court, the officer's testimony was he couldn't recall if his light turned red at all. And so he had multiple more seconds after Mr. Urquhart's turn to view the stoplight to see if what the color of it was, and still didn't realize he did not have a green light anymore.
I don't know how that bears on what happened up until the time of the stop.
Up until the time it stopped, and I think the most important thing is that at the moment that Mr. Urquhart turned, he was turning on a green light. And that's a finding that the court made. And it was a reasonable finding because there was no evidence presented by the state that his light was anything but green. There was no evidence presented to the color of his light at all. by the state. And on top of that, you have the officer admitting that he wasn't paying attention to the light, and he was the decision maker whether or not the light was red and Mr. Ickey violated the law. That's all I have based on those facts.
Whether the stop was constitutional or not, it may have saved your client's life.
That's potentially true, Your Honor. I know my client has been through a lot, and my client definitely has got his life turned around the right direction, is sober, and is not going to be at risk for this type of behavior again, one way or the other. He's continually active in AA, and he is present today.
Any more argument on the issues in the brief?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you for your argument.
Thank you.
Just briefly, Your Honors, in some ways it does not matter whether or not Mr. Ickey turned on the red light or not, because the question really is here whether the officer at the time watching the traffic, watching the light, watching the defendant's vehicle turn, whether he testified credibly and whether he acted on a whim, whether he honestly believed that the defendant had violated a traffic light or had violated a traffic law, is the heart of this issue.
And you missed an element, and that perception was reasonable. It can't just be that he had a belief, it has to be a reasonable belief.
Right. And taking the fact that 1 second, I know Your Honor seems to suggest that you believe that 1 second is a long time.
Well, I'm going beyond the 1 second now. I'm actually considering the time it takes from his light to turn green. The officer's light to turn green, the officer's light to turn red. And that's longer than 1 second if the yellow light is illuminated for longer than 1 second. Would you agree with that?
Yes, Your Honor. And I believe the 1 second comes in from the district court's review of the squad video. When the district court finds that there was a 1 second difference between the time that the officer's light had turned red and the time that the defendant's vehicle turned, I believe
no,
that's the 1 second.
The district court found that the 1 second was at 3:28:57, the light for the officer is still yellow. And then at 1 second later, the light for the officer has turned red. But that's not the perspective from which we have to view the reasonableness of the officer. The officer says that he observed his light was green and believed his light was green when he saw Mr. Ickey entering the intersection. And so we don't consider from the point of the light going from yellow to red, do we? Don't we consider the reasonableness of the officer from the whatever time it took from his light turning green to his light turning red?
Yes, Your Honor, and I believe that if you review the trial transcript and if you look at page 8 and my inquiry of him, yes, Officer Siljander originally testified that he believed that his light had turned red, and then he further clarified that his light was green, and that upon further questioning by me, he testified that, yes, his light had turned yellow and that his light had turned red.
After he viewed the video?
Yes, Your Honor.
But at the time, when he's testifying originally, he's saying, at the time of the stop, I believed that my light was green. That testimony didn't change on reexamination of the officer, did it?
It did not. But, Your Honor, I don't think that was a fully fleshed out sequence of questions.
Counsel, I feel like what we're being asked to decide is whether it's objectively reasonable for an officer to stop someone for the traffic violation of not stopping at a red light when, by the officer's own admission, he can't see the light that is governing the suspect's travel, and he's taking his eye off his light, which might correspond and allow a conclusion regarding the suspect's travel. So the officer is saying, I think you ran a red light, but I couldn't see the suspect's light, and I wasn't looking at my light at the time to know what color it was. Is that objectively reasonable? Do we want people to be stopped under those circumstances, or do we want officers to have to be able to point to something objective to say, here's why I think he ran a red light. I could see his light. Or I was looking at my light as I saw him make the turn, and my light was green. And we don't have those circumstances here.
I do think you have those circumstances here, Your Honor. When you look at the officer's full trial testimony, he testified that he was watching the light and the defendant's vehicle, and that when the defendant's vehicle had turned, his light had not turned red yet. And so I understand that the court is...
Well, wait. He didn't just say his light didn't turn red yet. He said his light was green. I keep going back to this because the heartbeat argument that you were making before, it was only a heartbeat. It's a split second from transitioning from the 1 second turning the corner. I don't think the facts bear that out. I think the facts establish that the time increment for the reasonableness of the officer's conduct takes us from the time, whatever the latest time was that his light was green, until his light turned red, which would have to encompass whatever length of time the light was yellow. Do you understand the basis for that approach? And if you do you disagree with it?
I agree that the light needed to turn yellow and did in fact turn yellow. And I agree that my time is up, but if I may just finish my
course
answer. And that there was some amount of time that the officer did take his eyes off the light enough to be able to watch the defendant's vehicle and the light. So perhaps not solely the night light or not solely the defendant's vehicle.
You agree, my question though is, you agree that whatever the period of time that the officer's light was yellow has to be included in your reasonableness argument, the how long is reasonable for an officer to take his light eyes off of his own light and observe the potential suspect vehicle. You agree that in this case, given the officer's testimony that he thought his light was green when Mr. Erke entered the intersection, we have to consider the length of time that the officer's light was yellow.
Perhaps, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you for your argument. Thank you to both attorneys. The matter is submitted. You'll have our decision within the time required.